Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. Joining me today, as always, DC area improv artist and comedian, Sean Paul Ellis. How's it going, sir?
David. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing quite well. And happy
more,
to
more welcome importantly, welcome back. You?
More importantly, who are you talking to?
You.
Oh, me still? Well, most importantly, we would like to extend a very warm welcome back to our good buddy, Matt Barron. Freshly married, freshly returned from the Isle of Hawaii. He is now Mr. Matthew Barron. So congratulations, sir.
I've always been Mr. Matthew Barron, but what's up, meat face?
What's up, meat face? I don't understand how marriage works. We can talk about that another time. However, since you said meat face, that means it's time to talk Adventures of the Galaxy Rangers. Sean is excited, everyone.
I'm so pumped.
This is Matt's pick, by the way. I need to throw that out because I kind of been dragging the fact that it's Sean's pick through the mud the last couple of times.
And I just need to say that before we get into this, yeah. I've been like 100% on with awesome series that I've
picked. He's been good.
This is a sharp, you know, just divergent series from what I've
This will be interesting before, because so. I think we've got some differings of opinions on this particular show for a variety of reasons. So it'll be cool to see what our discussion leads us to. But first,
Dave, are you saying that we all hated it, but for different reasons?
I'm going to say that I am less on the hate spectrum than you two are, so we can definitely talk about that.
Oh, I like
no
it.
No guts, no glory. Yeah. We're going to start off with a little bit of a history lesson. And who's taking that? I've already lost control of everything. So who's taking history today?
That's fine. Here, let's do this. So this show is... every time I've heard it, I'm like, this show... It's an American animated space western.
Indeed.
You know, like Brave Star. And it was created by... This is the group of people who nobody should ever talk to ever again. Robert Mandel and the Gaylord Entertainment Company.
I knew you couldn't say it without laughing. I had money on it.
Settle down. Hey, guess what? This show originally came out in 1986, which means it had one season, 65 episodes.
Nailed it.
It's
classic.
Continuing to follow the trend of mid to late 80s cartoons. This was in syndication until 89. There's one season, if you happen to find and catch up on and watch some stuff on Hulu, they actually divide it into two seasons.
Yeah, because who needs one season of 65 episodes when you can have two of 32 and a half? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Makes zero sense. So, you know, sort of just like Brave Star, the idea was to combine, again, science fiction and Western tropes into just one nightmarish cartoon. That's sort of has like a slight anime style.
Slight? Holy hell. Slight.
I mean,
it is straight up. Like, we can talk about the animation style in a bit. But
yeah, we can talk about the animation style later. I mean, we're talking about it a little bit beforehand, but, you know, it just, so it has an anime style to it. Kind of, would you guys say it's sort of like Macross-like?
It's got that kind of like 80s Japanese style, because I know this was kind of conceptualized in the United States, but animated in Japan.
Right.
So, you can tell that in the intro, especially with when you see Zachary Fox's,
his power up, with
the hair like fluctuation. It's, you know, just kind of classic 80s Japanese, but we'll get into that in a minute. But
just had like one stamp in the 80s for like every Japanese animation studio, that they just stamped every hero with like the same like haircut and the same like terrible square jawline.
Man's haircut and a powerful jawline, Sean?
Yeah, it was the American stamp. That's what they did. This is what Americans did.
Because that was a powerful jawline. You could set your watch by that jawline.
I don't know what that means, but I like it.
I like it too. Anyway, scary, because one of the show, like as a part of the notes, like it says that this show was considered revolutionary as a children's show at this point in time. And I want to know why. Was it revolutionary because it caused a revolution in Japan and the United States?
Possibly.
Like, was it bad enough to inspire action between people? Anyway, this...
Sean's been having a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah, this has been tough. Matt, could you fill us in on what this show actually entails?
Yes.
Could you summarize this beyond the two words that I'm using for it, which is hot garbage?
So, I can't really summarize it, but I can provide a synopsis.
Oh, indeed.
That's what you're looking for.
Indeed.
But, so it's set, now in the near future, in the 1980s, the distant future of 2086, when two aliens...
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, hey, we'll probably all die when this is going to happen. So it's going to be
perfect. Well, that'll be
last
good.
Man,
if it saves me from having to live out this.
I knew that was coming.
I'm grateful for it.
I knew it was coming.
Good gravy. All right. So, in the year 2086, two aliens approach Earth who they're just looking for our help in the introduction. Like, not really help with anything in particular.
No, just general.
Yeah,
general.
What was it?
Like
AAA. What were they looking for help for?
Just directions or like...
They wanted to move into a new space apartment.
Recommendations for a good place to eat.
We need help assembling space IKEA.
There's no Yelp.
God, I'm sure...
In 2086.
Damn it, you beat me to it.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
But at any rate. Okay, so basically what the two aliens are from two different worlds who want to, establish a league with... the planet of Earth,
mm-hmm.
but they are trying to fight against the Crown Empire, who is led by the Queen of the Crown, who I find to be ridiculously redundant for a spacefaring civilization.
Right.
But in turn, the two aliens give the plans for a hyperdrive to the planet of Earth, yada, yada, yada. Somehow Earth manages to... work its, nation state conflicts out, and all of a sudden, there are, cyber horse riding rangers that dispense justice.
Yeah. The rangers, not so much the horses. I don't know what the horses dispense. Probably like 10W40.
They dispense oil.
They dispense oil. They just leak
just
oil.
Leak,
all
just
over
piss
the place.
Oil everywhere in the open prairie of Tortuna. Yeah, so we don't get that. So we've talked about other intros and theme songs before that are just kind of like, hey guys, here's our intro and theme song, and this is what the show is about. This one doesn't really do that. It just has like some cool 80s rock to it. It's got some cool animation to it, but it doesn't really tell you like...
excellent 80s rock.
I love the rock, and I love rock, R-A-W-K, by the way, and the animation. So now's probably a good time to talk about the animation, because I really liked it. I like the style. You don't really see that too often anymore. It was very much a staple of like the 80s, with the very heavy Japanese influence on something that was meant for American TV. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it kind of like reminded me of two series, like one Macross, mm-hmm. just because, not the... I'd say the special effects were like, the powers come into play, but just the general, how the characters are drawn.
Yeah, character design.
Right, especially the background.
Right.
Especially the space battle scenes. Like, it's very 80s Japanese sort of,
Everybody's usually very devoid of any emotion or any feeling or reacting to anything. Like one person will kind of like move their face. It's great.
Yeah. He loves
God
it.
Knows I'm void of emotions.
You're void of demotions too, because there are no ranks here at Saturday Morning Cartoons.
Right.
But,
I hate you so much.
Yeah, I know it. I don't know. I still like it though. I like the high level of detail that they had in the, in the animation itself, there was a lot of, like Matt said, with the backgrounds and stuff, it wasn't just like a matte painting of nothing in the background. There was actually some pretty cool level of detail, so I enjoyed it. But, yeah, it was good stuff.
One of the things that I really liked about it was the fact that the animation was really, it was action-based. It wasn't just, kind of pre-scripted, the action-based animation was, I felt like really drawn in. There were like some things that were kind of like a little weird. Like when we get in the first episode, I've got, kind of a laundry list of beef with the animation, but, it was all animated very well. you know, for the fact that it was probably all hand-drawn at the time.
Yeah, very, very high production quality, especially compared with some of the stuff that we've seen. Like, what was it, Captain N, that didn't even have, like, finished background sometimes? It was just characters.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
that show is sadly, tragically flawed.
Yeah, but I like the animation style of this one. It's something that was very striking when we watched just the intro itself. I wasn't familiar with this show beforehand. Did you guys know anything about it before we actually watched it? Do you remember it from childhood?
I didn't know anything. No, I mean, this was totally new to me. And I mean, honestly, watching the YouTube intro of the series, I was like actually kind of excited about it because I thought it was going to be, you know, down the Macross line where, you know, okay, you're going to have to deal with, you know, weird character development episodes. But at the same time, you know, it was going to be a good series. And I was abruptly let down.
Sean, do you remember watching this one as a kid or remember anything about it?
No, this is brand new to me as well. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I've got so many questions about this show. And so many questions about
that will
this
never
show.
Be answered. Well, it's interesting though because I thought a lot of it was going to be like lost in translation. Like I thought a lot of the stilted dialogue, a lot of the mismatched like music and expressionless, you know, faces and things like. I thought that was maybe because it was a Japanese product to begin with, and then it was Americanized, so there was a lot that was lost in translation. No, it was only animated in Japan. The voice cast, everything was laid out to be as you see it on TV, which just makes it even worse because there's so many things that just make no sense just from a storytelling, basic storytelling perspective. But we can definitely get into that. Do you guys want to mention anything more about the intro or theme song, or do you want to dive into some of the characters here? Sean doesn't want to do any of this.
Let's dive.
No, to go to the point that you both have made is that like, I got really sold on the intro for this. Right. Like, I didn't quite understand it. Here's the thing. I don't quite understand. There's some parts of this that are so similar to Brave Star.
Oh, yeah.
Just having watched Brave Star recently, there were moments where I was just like, okay, like I don't quite get this, but I'll allow it in Brave Star. And then I don't know if that like peppered my opinion going into Galaxy Rangers, but you know, in Brave Star, we have 3030, the horse, who is an equestroid, and, you know, he's down on, like, all... You know, when I say these things out loud, I feel like I'm crazy.
Well, we talk about some crazy-ass shows. You and Joe went on a rant about how they are homosexual or intraspecies lovers last time, so I feel like...
I mean, I think there was...
That's valid.
Them.
No,
hey,
still valid.
What happens in the planet of New Texas stays in the planet of New Texas.
That's correct.
And so I get it, but, like, I feel like for this show... There was so much going on, and I feel like watching this show, I now understand what my dad goes through whenever he watches Game of Thrones.
Because he has no understanding of it?
He calls me up the next day, and he's just like, who the fuck were those people?
That is a fair question. You can ask yourself that at any point of like the first episode, because nobody's really introduced except for like a couple of people.
They introduced the idea, and they sort of hint at like major plot points and like motivations for characters are introduced, but characters aren't.
Characters
introduced.
Just literally flash onto the screen 90% of the way through, and they're like, "You're going to be with these guys for the next 64 episodes. Good luck."
And you really think like you every time like you think and you look at this and you're just like, "Oh my god!" Like that's something that they're setting up that like they're going to come back to, and it's going to be really important because like it's going to have some meaningful. Like aspect of maybe the character development episodes. I mean, shit, we got 64 more episodes of this. Like, let's not blow our whole load down. Nope.
Here's everything.
We're gonna come back to this.
Everything
shit.
Like, you need.
It's just everything that is in this show needs to be taken at like the most basic face value that you can afford your attention to give to it. Because it means nothing.
Look, though, I really had to pay attention to this one as opposed to some of the other ones we've talked about, just because they throw a lot of like weird verbiage at you, and they throw a lot of strange names around, and they just say them very quickly. They throw you right into it, and they don't really explain a whole lot. So I had to rewind a couple times, being like, "All right, who is this again? Why are they doing? What is happening?
I watched the end of the second episode three times because I was like, I don't understand what's happening. Like, I don't.
Well, I watched the end of the first episode twice because they just, you know, basically smash cut to introducing the rest of the, you know, it was like the, you know, who's the leader of the galaxy, you know, Rangers.
Well, that's a perfect segue into us introducing the Galaxy Rangers to you out there in listener land, so you know who we're actually talking about. Now,
because nobody else is going to
introduce
them. No one else will do it for you.
Like, we're going to have to do it because the show won't do it.
And even after we introduce them, you're going to be like, who the fuck are they talking about?
Why is his arm all glowy and shit? What is happening? So let's start talking with Zachary Fox here, because he's the first one that's actually, like, introduced. So in the first episode, it's 90% his... 80% his story, just going forward. So we got Zachary Fox,
and it makes sense, yes. Because you know, you find out that he is the captain, right, of these Galaxy Rangers
eventually, because they don't exist at this point, which is also not anything
not
that was clear at the beginning,
not,
right?
Like, I mean, like, to delve into this problem, they don't introduce the concept of Galaxy Rangers until episode 2.
Well, the like, tail end of episode 1, they're like, hey, that show you've been watching for the last 20 minutes, here's why we called it this. You'll find out more the next time. Right. And then they, like, reintroduce it in episode 2, so it's weird. It's weird.
So, like, they tease to it at the end of episode 1, but they don't really fully introduce the whole idea. And then when they – here's what blew – I had to rewatch this. This blew my fucking mind. Yeah. All right, they literally explain the idea of the, just like, we're putting together a team and here are your things and go. And then there's like this, like, 2 minute montage, and like, you think to yourself, like, oh my god, like, this is gonna be like one of those, like, big reveals where, like, sort of like when you watch like Sailor Moon for the first time,
right,
and
or
like
Power Rangers or any of that kind of stuff.
Like, she turns into Sailor Moon. Right. Yeah, exactly. Power Rangers. Like, they have that moment where they're just like, this is my special power. Right. Turn it on, activate. And like, you think that that's happening because they walk down into like this. They walk down into like this, like, cross, and they all stand on like these, like, four. Like, on four ends of the cross, and like they're all standing there,
and they're
all, like,
glowy,
all
powered up.
And then it just, and then there's like,
and they just,
like,
walk into a shuttle
animation, and then it is a, like, it is no lie, it is a 60-second montage of them using transportation.
It's exactly what it is. It's them hopping on
it's
a monorail through space, basically. Yeah.
Like, it cuts from like this powerful scene of just like, ready for the powers to activate. Right. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. Now we're gonna finally figure out what a Galaxy Ranger really is. And then it's an awkward, like, stilted animation of Miko getting into a shuttle. And I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with her body? Like, it just – I sat there and I shook my head and I was like, I can't watch this.
Well, before we go any further into how the show is completely messed up, let's talk about these Galaxy Rangers so you guys know who we're talking about. Matt, give us an intro to Zachary Fox that's better than the one that the show does. Not a high bar.
So basically, any introduction, Matt,
any introduction
you want to give us about Zachary Fox.
Just string some words together.
So he's basically the leader of the Galaxy Rangers team, although in the intro he's wearing this fedora situation, which it just really decreases his credit, but...
He's a Western man.
He's like Jason Mraz of Space.
Oh, what a terrible, terrible leader.
Oh, snap. But so he really, he, you know, kind of comes forward in the first episode. He's moving to this new planet with his family.
Right.
But, you know, basically he's the leader of the team.
Yes. Yeah, so
which you don't find out that the team exists until
It doesn't exist until later.
4 minutes.
He's not in charge of shit yet. He's just the head of this family. He's got two kids who are really annoying. He's got a wife who can pretty much hold her own. And he's transporting
he's in charge
the two.
Of literally nothing.
Well,
until,
he's transporting the two ambassadors
minute.
Too. So he's got the two ambassadors with him. So we got Waldo
okay,
and
so
Zozo.
He's got the snooze fest on board.
Waldo and Zozo,
you know,
brother.
Basically, exactly. So he Zachary Fox becomes the leader of the team. He has half of a prosthetic, PB and J, you know, but except, you know, prosthetics. So.
So I lost something in translation there. He's a man machine peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't know what that means, but it's still a better intro than the one that the show gives you. But yeah, he gets injured in the first episode.
The jelly is the human part, and the peanut butter is the bionic part.
Okay, we'll roll with that. So yeah, he gets injured in the first episode, and off screen somewhere, they give him like bionic replacements. So when he does become leader of this team, he has this power up, which we'll talk about in a second. But it basically just gives him like super crazy bionic abilities with his machine parts, which are only on his left-hand side. So he can like...
I think we just explained the entire thing. I don't think we need to get into it later. I think you just explained what his superpower is.
That's pretty much it. So he can like punch through walls, and he can like use his hand as like a mega cannon to blast through shit. Or he can use very fine movements and do some spot welding on some circuitry if he needs to. So yeah, that's what he does.
I love that you're just reading this off Wikipedia. I'm looking at the same
fucking article. 100% Wikipedia, dude, because this is also, they don't give you anything in the show. Like he gets hit at one point, his arm and legs turn pink for whatever reason, and then they cut away from him. You never see anything done. There's no surgery, there's no explanation. He just walks onto this pedestal, starts glowing, and all of a sudden his arm and leg are like bionic. And it's just like, what the fuck happened? Yes. So that's what that
is. This is tough. Like, this is tough because, like, I don't know.
Who is your favorite?
It's not tough, okay? The thing that's challenging about this is that the person who's the voice actor for this is an amazing actor who is sadly no longer with us.
Yes.
All right? Like, he was a great actor on Law & Order. This is played by Jerry Orbach.
Right.
Is the voice of this nightmare leader character, Zachary Fox. And like, it's a shame. Like, it's a shame. Like, I feel, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad, you know, if you're going to have a show like this, yes, you obviously need somebody who's going to be a fantastic anchor. And at this point, Law & Order obviously, well, maybe Law & Order existed at this point.
I mean, yeah, I can't even remember.
But, you know, it's just, like, it was good. I mean, like, the voice acting on some of the stuff was good. I mean, I'd say that, like, I'd say Fox is good.
The rest of them, maybe Waldo is okay. Zozo's fine for like the humor that he's supposed to bring.
The weird Kiwi alien race.
Yeah, like, but the rest of them are just like, everybody's really stilted. It's like nobody's ever
hot garbage.
Spoken English before. It's all pretty bad. So
I think that here's the thing that blows my mind is that like I think like everybody in this show is experiencing everything they're experiencing for the first time.
Yes.
Like nobody else. Nobody else here's it like nobody else has ever led a mission.
Nope.
Nobody else has ever entered in to try to broker a hostage negotiation.
No, and look, we have no idea how this Ranger force is cobbled together. These people literally just show up on screen. They're like, "Here's your Rangers. Send them out to do shit." You have no clue what their background is.
As like a high level for all of this, we have three other Rangers that assist Fox. All right, there's Shane Gooseman.
Mm-hmm.
There is Walter Doc Hartford, and then there's just Nico. Nico's special because she's a woman, and they just don't give her any last name.
Nope, just
like,
Nico.
They have 65 episodes to be able to give Nico a last name. Never do.
Nope.
It's terribly sexist. And so you have Shane, who I think his superpower was just having dumb hair and overreacting in every
his
situation.
His superpower sounded the lamest when they were actually describing them. They were like, Shane Gooseman, you will have enhanced bio defenses and you will be basically invincible. And he was just like, all right, cool. Yeah. And then he spins his guns and puts them away and that was it. I'm like, what are you? Like, what do you do?
So,
in practice, like, though, his power is actually pretty cool because he can, like, he can heal. He can be, like, invulnerable to, like, bullets and stuff for a brief amount of time. He's actually got some cool stuff. They just displayed it in a shitty way.
In the one episode that I watched that he was in, prefacing this obviously with saying that like I watched the first and the second episode. All right, so he was in the teaser in the first episode where you get nothing, and then you really get to see sort of what he is doing in the second episode. But in the second episode, every time there was a problem that needed to be dealt with, he just immediately pulled out both of his guns and just started shooting. Like, it wasn't like...
Yeah, he is basically like... So they even say he's inspired by Clint Eastwood. His voice is Clint Eastwood. His look is kind of a younger, the Western-style Clint Eastwood. And then, yeah, his reaction to things is just basically to shoot everything, like Sean said.
Yeah.
So he's like half Clint Eastwood and like half... Man, what the heck? Oh, I had another one. I can't remember what it was. But go ahead. Gooseman. Oh, it's half Top Gun. He's half basically Top Gun. I mean, his name's okay. Goose, right. And that came out the same year. Yeah. He's basically just another, like, Maverick Goose Iceman, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
Because he's basically just, like, a hotshot pilot kind of thing, too. So, yeah.
But, I mean, like, when you watch this, like, you try to understand at least some of, like, what the dynamic is. Yep. And, like, maybe this is something for a later episode that they discuss, like, in terms of, like, team building. Or maybe they get together for, like, a weekend retreat in the mountains at a cabin or something like that. Do a bunch of trust falls. But, like, Fox, as the leader of this group, has little to no control over what these Jokers do.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, just like, seriously, like, they're trying to broker a hostage negotiation, and like, hey, they're not even like staking the place out. Like, they're not even doing a good job of like understanding exactly where their surroundings are and what they're doing. You know why? Because there's only four of them. Like, that's it. Like, they are the backup. Like, there was no, like, yeah, let's send in the B team. Like, they are the A to Z team.
And that's all they got. Like, four and, like, chuckleheads. Yep.
The second something happens, it's just a goose pulling out the guns, you know? Which, I mean, this is a way to I guess, segue into Doc.
Oh, you mean Billy Dee Williams?
Yeah, Billy Dee Williams. I think Doc was probably my favorite.
I thought the exact same thing, too. I was like, when I saw the introduction, I was like, oh, my God, Billy Dee Williams.
Yes, he's just cooler than the other side of the pillow, Billy Dee Williams.
He is just the best.
He's weird, though, because, like, you see this, like, so he's this, you know, fairly capable-looking guy, and then they're like, your powers will be enhanced computer wizardry. And it's just like, really? He's just going to be the computer guy? Like, that's kind of...
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it's not a bad gig. Like, he has, like,
It's really not.
Yeah, he has, like, this, like, thing that allows him to, you know, make, like, these crazy programs. Like, it's, I guess that's hard because, you know, it's called, like, the Computer Diagnostic Unit. And so this thing, like, allows him to create any type of, like, a program, anything computer-related, he's able to, like, hack or, like, create a virus or something like that if necessary. And so... I mean, like, it's kind of interesting. Like, I looked at this, and this is why I like that, is I, like, of all the powers that they created, I was like, oh, shit, I want that one.
His is pretty, like, cool, yeah. He uses, like, these little, like, so he creates kind of these programs, and then they kind of pop up on our screen as, like, these little holographic images, and they do all kinds of stuff. So they can, like, you know, hack into terminals, they can communicate, they can, you know, pick locks somehow, they can do all kinds of stuff. We didn't get to see a whole lot of that on display, but, you know, just from the background research and stuff, there's a lot of random stuff that they can do. We also get a lot
What I do know from episode two is that he's very easy to capture.
Yes.
And he also does a really poor job of making sure that, like, if you are brokering a hostage situation, that people don't sneak up from behind you.
Yeah, he's pretty bad at that.
His performance review is like, hey, Doc, can you come in? And he's like, yeah, what's up? I'm Billy Dee Williams. Like, you're doing a terrible job as a Galaxy Ranger.
Maybe
he's
just
like,
stay in headquarters next time. Just stay on Earth and just do our computer stuff from there. Because you are worthless in the field. Exactly. You are worthless in the field.
Pretty much.
The only thing he does is he fixes their cyber steeds, which are the robo horses. That's about all he does.
Yeah, I don't get those either. Can I, like...
You can do whatever you want.
They preface the whole
show... Yeah?
No, they preface the whole show with the idea that these two aliens coming to Earth have given, like, they needed something from us, right. And in exchange, they never explain what the thing is that they needed from us. That is totally unknown. And so in exchange, they give us a hyperdrive, and that allows us to to travel through space.
Yeah, so we can, like, go colonize places and go stir up all kinds of trouble.
And so, like, we are, like, that's what we're doing. Like, we are terraforming in 2086. Like, that's a big part of our society and what we're doing. And the best mode of transportation that we have on planets are robot horses.
Yep. Nailed it. Robot horses. It is interesting, though. Like, a lot of that stuff, and I mean, yeah, you guys are free to disagree with me, but a lot of this stuff isn't laid out for you ahead of time. It's just kind of like stuff that happens. You're like, all right, they're getting on weird talking robot horses. That's strange. But then they seed in these little things, like they land on this planet. There's some weird kind of formations in the desert. And they say, like, oh, these are some strange looking landscapes or whatever. And they're like, oh, no, there used to be millions of people here that were in the suburbs of this city. But the queen of the crown came and wiped them all out. So they do pepper in some of that history.
The only thing that's left on these planets now are, like, are like Western towns.
Yeah, like for some reason, it's like the old West, but like after civilization has fallen. So it's like somehow we decided, let's revert to the old West after civilization's come and gone. So yeah, it's there's saloons and there's like outlaws.
We have an advanced civilization that can terraform and travel throughout the stars,
much like Brave Star.
Got wiped out. We need to go back to like the late 1800s.
The Franklin stoves. Like, yes, Joe would be happy to find a Franklin stove in one of these.
Oh, geez.
That's where we're at. Baron, did you have a favorite character among the Rangers at all? Did you like any one of them more than the others?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about it is that I really kind of, you know, equated this to Outlaw Star.
I was thinking that a little
bit. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You know, because it was the whole, like, space-faring civilization, but, you know, weirdly 1870s style. But, you know, I really did – I didn't have a favorite character for the Galaxy Rangers, but you know, because I kind of hated them all equally.
Fair enough.
But, you know, I really love the whole kind of, you know, Western plot, you know, the New Frontier kind of thing,
right.
Because
which was the name of the second episode.
Like, you know, you know, the Wild West plus spacefaring technology, which was really great, you know.
Yeah, worked well for Brave Star.
No, I agree.
Kind of.
Kind of worked for the show. For I mean, we've mentioned everybody. I know we mentioned Nico, and she doesn't have a last name, but we should not forget to mention her, since that's basically what the show does, is forget to mention her in any way, shape, or form.
She kind of pops up and does her thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. But, I mean, she has psychic abilities, and she can, and that's, like, what her gift is that she can, like, create a shield, like, with her mind, or, like, she can shoot stuff out of her head, and... I don't know.
It just sounds so random. And since you guys are definitely wondering out there in listener land, yes, she has been Rule 34'd. So now I'm basically in the habit of just checking each show to see if it has been done. And yes, it's been done. It's been done. I mean, not a lot out there, but a fair amount
Dave,
of stuff.
Dave, could you go ahead and send me those?
I'm pretty sure you can just Google it. You'll find it real fast because it's just right there. So, yeah. Another one that gets Rule 34'd, surprisingly enough, the Queen of the Crown. The Queen of the Crown, everyone.
All right, yeah.
let's talk to her because
let's get into
this. This is Sean's favorite for a number of reasons.
Okay, this really is. Man, I don't even know. So here's the thing.
Describe her first, so people get like a visual.
Oh, she is. If you had an android that was a member of the KKK.
In the future.
In the future. If you had a future android who was, like, in the KKK, if you're like, KKK, I'm like, yeah, Ku Klux Klan.
That's the one.
Like she is...
She's that. She is the Grand Dragon, or whatever they call themselves.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's a Grand Dragon from my days.
But they just, like, they don't end... They don't, like... I want to get into that with you, Dave, but I have to... Oh, you are... killing me. So they're doing all this stuff where, like, they're explaining about, like, the terraforming, and, like, they're explaining these things, and then all of a sudden, like, there's, like, a smash cut to, like, this woman in a hood.
Yep. White
and
hood.
And she's, like, just in a white hood and white robes, and you're like, what the fuck is this? Again, it's this show throwing so much stupid information at you, but explaining none of it.
Right.
And you're just like, I don't understand what this is. Like, she's got, like, purple skin.
Yeah, so they eventually, at first when they show her, she's this figure, it's got a female's voice, and it's, she's in the white kind of hood and robe, and then just has black.
You see her arm at one point. She waves her arm.
Oh, does she wave her arm?
Almost like a Third Reich salute.
I didn't catch that. I was more focusing on, like, so you don't see her face at first. Like, the hood is open, but you don't see her face. You just see black shadow that's occasionally sprinkled with, like, little purple sparkles for some reason. That's just the way that so I assume that that's how she would look for a very, very long time. Nope. It's not very long before they basically just reveal her face. And she's just, like, she looks kind of like... a purplish Maleficent. She's got kind of like the high cheekbones.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That is spot on.
And that's it. So why she has sparkly shadow camouflage? I have no idea. Maybe it's to exist in space. I have no clue. But there it is. So she's.
I'm sorry. In the crowd. Yeah. So she is like she is a member of like this space KKK. Yeah. And I'm sorry. What is her? If you were to ask her, what is your main profession?
A slaver.
Like what? Yeah.
That's, I'd say slaver. Slaver. She's a space slaver.
She's a space slaver.
In the best possible way, though, because it's not just like we're just gonna enslave all these civilizations and put them to work building stuff. She's like, no, we're just gonna take all their like psychic energy from them. So she's basically just a parasite that's like feeding on all these different civilizations and existing from their spiritual or psychic energy. And what does she do with them when she gets that energy? This is the best part. I love this. I love just the whole mythology behind the Queen of the Crown and the Crown Army and all that stuff because it's nuts.
I mean, it's a cool concept. Like, and I wish that they would have never shown her face. Like, it was more frightening when you didn't know what was under that hood
Or just like pink sparkles.
I mean, it was creepy. Yeah, like just like that. Every once in a while, there was like a little light or something like that kind of like moved. In this like black shadow where her face should be, and you were just like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah,
like
super
that's
creepy.
What is that? Like, what is I like? You wanted to know, but at the same time, I was like, mystery is so cool in this. And then they're like, "Oh, purple."
And they're like, "Oh, purple Maleficent." That's all she is. But yeah, so her thing was like, so she controls vast territories across space, a bunch of different planets, has wiped out a number of civilizations, and keeps looking for different species that she can harvest this psychic energy from. What does she do with it? She stores it in these things called, I kid you not, psychocrystals. So there's psychocrystals in her psychocrypt, and she uses that energy to basically keep like the species in this like stasis, but also to create new slaver lords. And her slaver lords are basically like her underlings. So they're not the main, that's not the main, like, army force, which is a whole other thing that we can talk about because they crack me up. But they're sort of like her, not second in command, but they're like her next tier of command that they can go out and they can survey for her and she can sense and she can see through their eyes all the different planets and civilizations that she is in charge of. So she makes slaver lords by harvesting psychic energy from all these other species. Now, what makes humans important? Do you guys remember this little tidbit?
Oh yeah, we evidently have like the like
we're the best.
We're the best energy.
We're the best at having like energy. I don't know what their logic was, but she's like, oh, they're much more efficient with harvesting psychic energy than all these other trash species.
Well, okay, we should explain that they're like the two aliens that they talk about like the very beginning of this are Waldo and Zozo.
Correct.
Okay, and Zozo is like he's a Kiwi. Which I was just like, I had to listen to this a couple times because I was like, wait, are they talking about like he's from like
New Zealand?
Never, doesn't matter. Like, they're like these little kind of, they were like cross between like a bunny and.
It's like if a bunny went rotten. Like if a bunny, if a bunny was a vegetable that went rotten, that's what a kiwi would be. Because they're kind of like, they're crumbly looking and they're like all like bumpy.
Full on zombie bunny situation.
It's a zombie bunny situation.
If a bunny was a vegetable, perfect.
I mean, I don't know. That's how this thing is drawn. So, and it's a whole planet of
them. And then like Waldo, it's a contrast. Like Waldo is like this very like tall, regal character with just like blacked out horse eyes.
Yeah. Like, that was disturbing.
He's like an older regal gentleman with like evidently male pattern baldness is something that exists in the galaxy, and just like he just has these like gross, hard to look at like black horse eyes, and it's just like oh boy, all right, whatever. And like they don't. Here's the thing: looking at like this tiny rotten rabbit.
Yeah.
And this, like, tall old man, I would have been like, yeah, these guys both have shitty energy. Like, let's get those humans.
Yeah, definitely. Like, suck on those humans.
I'm thinking if I'm a slaver, all right, I'm definitely not going to get a rotten rabbit or...
an old grizzly old man.
Horse eyes. Like, I don't want either of them. Like, I want young, strong, virile, masculine humans.
Now we're talking.
Let's get them.
And that's what they do. So we might as well get into this first episode. We're at about 40 minutes have gone by already. So we are well on our way. Let's talk about Phoenix. That's the first episode. We've already run through a lot of the stuff. Introduced to Zachary Fox. He's taken his family and the ambassadors to this new planet, which happens to be where all the Kiwis live. So it's the planet of Kirwin, which is basically just like a farming planet with all these little rotten rabbits running around. And that's where the queen kind of descends and blasts her way. This was my favorite part. I got to tell you, this blasting through. So they have a this planet doesn't have a lot of defenses, but they have one mega planetary shield that apparently has a few bugs in it.
It's like a matrix of satellites.
It's a matrix of satellites that, like, yeah.
Do you know what the line was with the guy? They were just like, oh, we need to deploy the security measures. Do you know what the guy said?
No, what did he say? Because there are so many good lines.
He just goes, it's not fully debugged.
Debugged. He's like, yeah, well, here's the thing. If you thought the exhaust port in the Death Star was a poor design, this fucking thing. It's terrible. I mean, it goes up for about 2 seconds. The queen,
one satellite, and
everything's done.
The planet
is exposed, and it's like pixelated, exposed too. Like they show it later, it just looks like a jawbreaker that's just had like a crack taken out of it. But anyway, so the queen of the crown, flies her destroyer there, and then she sends all these little ships, these
drones.
Fighters, yeah, basically drones. Down to the planet's surface. They blast the shield open. They go down to the planet's surface. Here, up until this point, I was like, okay, this show is kind of cool. It's got some potential. Here's where it all goes to shit. Because, I mean, this is 5 minutes in now. We're only talking 5 minutes in. You're watching these pilots fly around, and they're blasting the houses, and they're blasting the power silos and stuff that power the shield. There is no resistance. There is no defense. Nothing. Nobody's shooting back at them. Nobody's flying. There's no dogfights. And these pilots are kind of like these weird robots that kind of talk like this. They just have that standard.
They look like samurai.
Some sort of like a knockoff of like a Transformer or a knockoff of a GoBot or something like that. Okay. They just look like a very generic. Yeah, Samurai Robot, I guess, would be...
Samurai GoBot.
Samurai GoBot. Knock off Samurai GoBot. And they're terrible. They're really awful. So she just overwhelms them with numbers.
There's no resistance.
There's no resistance, which is the best. This is a key moment to remember, because one of them, as he's flying along, just goes, I'm in too close, bah, and just crashes into a tower. Nothing around him.
Just kamikazes
into a tower for no apparent reason. Because who cares? She can apparently just make a shitload of these guys. So now these guys are on the planetary surface, and they're just walking around. They're riding their robot steeds, because that's what you do. Riding their robot steeds. My second favorite part, I sent these guys a whole bunch of links, too, of just, like, the favorite moments from these batshit episodes. The crown soldier, like, he's walking along. He picks up one of these kiwis, which is the little rotten rabbits. He goes, are you a human? And he goes, I'm a Kiwi, you bully. And he just goes, bah, no good. Like, literally like that. Like, no expression. That just tosses him aside. Just throws him like a sack of potatoes. Bah, no good. I lost it.
Tosses this disgusting rotten rabbit.
I would,
like,
too.
Into the brush.
I would, too.
Get out of here.
To be honest with you. So, yeah. So, they round up some humans. They go back to the destroyer. At this point, like, the hero's not even there yet. Like Zachary Fox and his family on the Phoenix, they're not even there yet.
They introduced the family, and you're just like, oh, okay, and they're just like, we're on our way, and like they have not introduced what the planet is that the Kiwis are on.
Well, Kirwin, all right. It was planet Kirwin, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, they haven't really, like, I mean, did they introduce it at that point?
Just by name.
I think
they just say, like, we're headed to planet Kirwin, where all the Kiwis live. That's it.
But like, you meet Fox, and like, you have no idea where Fox is headed. It's not like they say they're headed there. Or maybe I'm stupid.
Well,
anyway,
they say they're taking the ambassadors there because I guess Ambassador Zozo, which is a little rotten rabbit Kiwi, I guess his family's there. So they're taking him there.
So this leads me into the next thing I wanted to really talk about.
Go for it.
Really, like, I wrote down both of those points that you had mentioned, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. And when you sent me the links today, I was cracking up. I was like, this fucking show. All right. So my other favorite part about this, so they have like these, like, you find out that the ship that Fox is riding on has like this AI that's on it.
So fucking annoying.
It has like, has this annoying,
called GV,
terrible AI. Yeah, is that what it is? I thought it was like JB or something.
I think it's GV. I have no idea what it stands for. I had listened to it a number of times. But it's
and
irritating.
They don't explain it.
It says stuff like, they're like, GV, give us the coordinates. And it's like, I'm working on it. It's just like a lot of that.
Yeah, that line. Because Fox is with his entire family, all right?
And these two ambassadors that are very, very important.
He's got this young his daughter, right. Fox's daughter, is like this young girl, like a typical blonde with like pigtails. Yep. She's in a dress with like a Peter Pan collar.
Right.
And she just very politely is like, can you let us know where we are?
Yeah.
And like, fucking AI is just like, I'm working on it, toots. And I was like, A, calling a woman toots is actually very demeaning and very sexist.
It's such like, an odd choice. Such
you
an
should
odd
never
choice.
Call a woman toots, all right? That is very rude, all right? In any way, shape, or form, all right? So, like, the fact that this AI, like, here's the thing. Somebody had to have sat down and have been like, how do I write an AI that's, like, incredibly sexist?
Here's, yeah. That is a bold
terrible.
Choice to make. Here's the other thing they decided to do.
That is a bold-ass choice.
They're like, hey, we're going to bring Michael Winslow from Police Academy and Spaceballs in to just do the sound effects. For this fucking AI, for no reason.
And it is terrible. Like, I know that we've talked about, like, the fact that, like, the animation for this show is, like,
awesome.
is good. It's good. Like, it's good. Like, the theme song and, like, it, you know, that sold all three of us on this
yep.
is good. It's really good. All right? I know that we've talked, like, even Jerry Orbach is in this. Like,
yeah.
It's good. Like, Jerry Orbach and what was the other voice actor that we met? Or not voice actor, but just other character that we mentioned, like... There's some,
oh, like Doc. Well, no, some, Doc's pretty terrible, but
there is some decent voice acting
right.
in this. And then you get to the sound, like the sound effects for this AI,
ugh.
And it's like Matt did it, like in front of a kid, like in front of his iPhone.
Yeah, like we were basically just
like
Matt,
a
make a bunch
beach.
Of sounds, and we'll just like, put them in the show later for no reason.
It doesn't even sound like it's like a robot. It's just
no,
like,
it's definitely not. It's just a guy.
Like
it's just a guy
yeah,
in the computer.
It's just a guy. Like nepotism got this guy his role of making sound effects.
It was really bad.
AI,
they're unnecessary.
Which this, and I think that, and that's the point. This AI in this show, 100% unnecessary.
And it's not even like
and
the same one because they use different ones for each individual ship too. But they use different ones for each ship. That drove me crazy. Because it was like you've got the Phoenix, and then you've got these smaller like fighter ships. Every single one has a different AI that is completely unnecessary. And they're irritating.
And they,
I don't know why they did it.
I think I know.
Yeah? What's that?
I'm being serious because, like, you know, we've talked about, like, some of the shows that we had at that time. Like, some of the shows, like, that's when, like, sort of some of, like, the CG technology was coming about. And,
right.
Like, that stuff doesn't look animated.
No,
like,
I don't know what they were doing, but it looks different. It definitely stands out as being terrible.
It looks like a screensaver
yeah.
that somebody had found for like a Mac 2E or for like an Apple 2E and was just like, this would be rad. Like it's like it you know what it is? It looks like somebody put a crappy GIF in the middle
yeah.
of this well animated show and was like they dusted their hands off and they were like, nailed it.
Done.
Like
my part's
they walked
done.
Away happy that
That'll
day,
get you five frames. Yeah, exactly.
So
we've set up a bunch of stuff. Again, man, we're just following what the show gives us. So we've got Zachary Fox and his family headed to the planet. We got the Queen of the Crown attacking these little rotten rabbit planet. And then Fox basically gets pulled into this like weird warp and pops out in the middle of space in nowhere. At which point we introduce yet another character who's completely just bizarre in all manner. Captain Kidd. Matt, do you want to talk about like Captain Kidd and our first introduction to him and his ship? I don't even know if I had a name, but just like everybody that's on his ship.
Yeah, so basically he was a space pirate, and it was really weird because this is really where the you know kind of heavy metal aspect
yeah.
came in for me. You know, because you see these like
or Exo Squad too. I mean, well before that, but obviously like similarities to Exo Squad,
right? But it was really kind of the like. You know, creature crowd scene
yes.
on this ship that kind of drew me toward the heavy metal.
Oh, I got you.
You know, kind of aspect there. So, you know, basically there's space pirates and capturing humans, you know, has a lot of monetary reward
yeah.
for turning them over to the Queen of the Crown, blah, 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 KKK.
Blah, 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 KKK.
At the end of the day, you know, basically, he tries to take over the ship that Zachary Fox is on. You know, the kids get away. You know, blah blah blah. There's, you know, a little bit of space conflict there. But at the end of the day, you know, what the weird thing was is that he says that he would take Zachary Fox's offer of letting his ship go to get monetary reward for that. But at the end of the day, he still captures Zachary Fox's wife and takes off with her.
Yeah. Now let's,
which was a weird thing for me.
Well, let's back up to her because she is incredibly important throughout this series and yet not important at all. Yep. What do I mean by that? Okay, so she gets kidnapped by... Well, first of all, she gets assaulted back when they're on the Phoenix. She's pretty much the... This is ridiculous. She's the only one on this ship. One of these, like, space pirate cretins gets in there and basically looks like he's about to monster rape her. Thankfully, he is distracted by the AI of the ship playing, like, this tiny dancing monster playing a saxophone. That was really weird. I was like, what the fuck is... What is going on?
The rock sax was very popular in the
80s. Apparently it was.
It was sort of like a little parrot. It's like a space parrot, you know? And whatever Captain Kidd said, he just kind of echoed the exact same thing.
Oh, no. Not that little monkey thing. This was back
when... Oh, not the monkey thing?
No, this was back on the Phoenix when Eliza was trying to prep to get ready to go, and she got attacked on her own ship by one of the space pirates. The AI, in order to prevent Eliza from getting killed... to distract this guy, who's, by the way,
that's right.
By the way, his name is Meatface. The name of this outlaw is Meatface. So just keep that in mind. So in order to distract Meatface from raping and or killing Eliza, he plays this little monster dancing with a rock sax. So that was weird. And then Eliza just blasts him, so she's fine. You'd think. She gets kidnapped, okay? So she's kidnapped by Captain Kidd. Over the course of the next couple of episodes... they kind of find out what happened to her. They track Captain Kidd down. They kind of find Eliza. She's back in the hands of the Queen of the Crown. Now, this is where everything kind of comes into play with Zachary Fox's motivation for defeating the Queen of the Crown to rescue his wife. Because his wife is now, her essence basically is in this crystal that the Queen has pulled out and is now keeping with herself.
Oh, the psycho crystal?
The psycho crystal. So Eliza's essence is in this psycho crystal, separate from her body. So now the team has her body back by the end of, like, episode two or three. I think two. And they just, like, isolate her because they're like, the queen can use her to see what we're doing and hear what we're saying. So we're just going to put her in a coffin.
That is the craziest thing. So, like, the queen is, like, escaping after the galaxy caught and then respond. And then she just threatens Fox and just goes, wherever your wife goes, I'll be able to see you because of her.
Real creepy.
That is
super
creepy. City.
She's got a thing for Fox, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's just put aside the fact that, like, the queen had all of them captured in her own, like, headquarters and then just left for some reason and let them escape. Let's just pretend that never happened. So let's go back now. We're talking about Eliza. Zachary Fox wants to rescue her, which leads us to, with no transition whatsoever, a narration from Walsh, who basically says... Yeah, so Walsh, which I don't think we mentioned before, but he's kind of like the commander that heads up the Galaxy Rangers above and beyond Fox. Anyway, he says, Fox, your report has been read and permission is granted for you to form the Galaxy Rangers. And we're like, wait, what just happened? Like,
when did he do all this?
When did he do this? On his way back to not rescue his wife? Like, what? And then all they do, they show on screen, like, the four Galaxy Ranger characters, three of whom you've never seen before, are not given names. They're just basically, this is where they walk you through, like, we got these S5 implants that are like these bionic implants, and they're going to enhance your latent abilities. So
we haven't even talked about these. This is how crazy this is, all right? Like, if you're thinking to yourself, you guys have been talking a lot about a show that it doesn't seem like the three of you like at all.
Well,
you are 100% correct. Mm. There is so much... there's so much information.
There's a lot
that you get in such a short period. This is like maybe 46 minutes worth of show at this point. All right, there is a cavalcade of characters that, like,
have nothing to do with anything.
No idea what the fuck is
going on. Right.
No idea why the fuck they're introduced. All right, like, there, like I said earlier, only motivation is introduced.
Yeah,
like, only characters' motivation is introduced. Like, planets aren't really explained. relationships other than like the family ties that like Fox has like with his family unit or not.
What the aliens want, what the situation is between different races and species.
Presumably the aliens want us to defend them from the queen.
Yeah, some do, some don't. That's the thing.
That's the easiest. Like,
you'd think it'd be super easy.
That's the easiest thing. Like, if you were wondering, like, oh my God, what is the thing that they want? Like, what's the favor? It's just that. It's probably that.
Here's,
like, nobody outright says shit in this show.
Well, I'll say shit right now. Here's probably the most frustrating thing of everything. So we've established Zachary Fox's motivation, right?
Right.
Save his wife. That's pretty much it. That's simple. It's straightforward.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for anybody who wants to watch all 65 episodes. Never rescued during the series.
She what? Is never, Are you kidding me?
She is never rescued. From the research and background that I did on, she is never rescued. They have 65 episodes to go get her. Never rescued.
I want to make a bold statement.
Yeah,
right now.
Make a bold statement.
Good.
That's how Fox feels, I think, because basically he kind of shoots this look to the camera, because now he's got Hot Nico running around, he's got this bionic arm,
yeah.
He can go do whatever he wants in the galaxy because he's running around on a robot horse. And they're basically like, we're going to keep your wife in stasis because she's basically like a Manchurian candidate, so we got to kind of keep her locked down. And he's like, all right, I'm just going to go be space awesome for a while, and I'll maybe get around to saving her of episode 66.
I want that on a t-shirt. I just want space. I'm going to go be space awesome.
Space awesome for a while? Zachary Fox, man. Stud of the galaxy.
Make sure you throw in Manchurian candidates.
I'll say that too. It's funny though, because like him, Goose is definitely like the ladies' man. There's a point where they're having like this. They go to investigate crops on this one planet. This is the third episode called Tortuna. There's very much like a Star Trek influence here too, because they do kind of like these exploratory missions or these science-based missions, fact-finding missions, or just kind of like goodwill, because everybody, all the humans seem to really like these Galaxy Rangers. They invite them in. They're basically like, I'm a farmer and this is my daughter and you probably shouldn't touch her, but oh well, if I end up with a Galaxy Ranger grandson, then I'm okay with that. So it's kind of strange. It's kind of strange how that all kind of works out. But
oh boy.
Yeah. So I'm maybe not going to defend this show because I haven't watched enough to really make a decision, but from my perspective, this is a very, very dense show, more so than a lot of the ones we've watched. There seems to be a lot of character development over time. There's a lot of background to each of these characters. You learn what city or planet they grew up on. You learn how they kind of develop their basic powers. You learn, I mean, Goose is like this thing called a super trooper, and I'm assuming it's not the, you know, New England.
The Broken Lizard.
Yeah, it's not Broken Lizards. Like, what are they, New Hampshire? Like Highway Patrol, yeah. Vermont Highway Patrol. Probably not that so much. You learn a lot about this other stuff, but then at the same time, it's like you never fucking rescue your wife in 65 episodes, so I don't know. I'd like to watch more. I'm intrigued by it. I think there's a lot of goofy stuff, but I think they have a good premise, and if maybe they work the kinks out over time. I don't know. I'd give it a chance. What do you guys say about this
one? I'm gonna give this a no.
Okay.
Like you said, it's dense, and that's fine because I know that you mean like in breadth of all the knowledge that's created, yes, in the universe building that they do in this show. Right. I'm gonna say it's dense in the sense that it's just dumb.
Okay.
Like, it's a bunch of booty assholes that are shitty at their job,
yeah,
and are ill prepared for every situation that they get themselves into.
Yeah.
And you mean like the A-Team, Sean?
No, I mean, at least the A-Team had a plan. These people are just like,
let's shoot the ground in front, yeah, of the people we're trying to kill.
Hey, man, I love when a plan comes together. That's all I'm saying.
Jesus.
There you go.
Yeah, Hannibal's the best. Hannibal versus Zachary Fox.
I think...
Spoiler alert, nobody dies.
Yeah. I just think that there's a lot of stuff that's here, but I think like for as many interesting ideas as it presents,
right,
I think you summed it up very well in saying 65 episodes, they never resolve the main conflict,
yeah,
which is stealing back the psycho crystal for Fox's wife.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I'm saying this out loud and I feel like a crazy person.
Well, this whole episode is kind of like that.
And I think that that's what it is. Like, I love, we've watched two shows now that have been about like space westerns,
right,
and like I really dig I really dig this genre. Like, it's interesting. Like, it's an interesting mashup of two, like, major genres. And, like, it's fun. And I get it. Like, but, I mean...
Just the execution of it has been poor.
Yeah. If they would have picked one, or if they would have just provided just a little bit more exposition, and I'm sure over 65 episodes, I hope, like you said, there's character building. I hope there's more character building. Because, I mean... You would think that, like, in the first one or two episodes, like, just kind of turn the faucet on a little bit. Just give me, like, pique my interest.
Yeah, maybe don't introduce these people just sight unseen with no background whatsoever.
This overwhelmed me to the point of frustration.
Yeah.
Where I was so angry at, like, points of this. But then it was contrasted by these moments that were just, like, they were so... Like we had mentioned, they were so slapstick and so goofy, like the pilot drone driving into a hut,
yeah.
You know, or the alien playing a sax that the AI presents as like as a way to distract the alien rapist.
Or like you said, the little pirate parrot monkey thing.
The parrot monkey at one point just starts chanting. He goes, "I want my booty! I want my booty!"
Yeah, he just goes, "Booty!"
Like
weird, just weird.
I mean, there are some things like the fact that the town that they go to investigate in episode 2 is called Sari's End.
Yeah, I like that. It's terrible, like, but I liked it.
These things are so like it's so goofy and stupid, and all it did for me was it worked against the show.
Fair.
The show was trying to do something that was much more massive in its execution, or like at least in its design. All right, but then it ended up almost making fun of itself by having these really dumb, awkward moments.
Well, I'll say that I think this is one of those things where mid-80s, they were kind of like walking this balance between like, all right, we want to do this with the show, but it also is supposed to be for kids because it's a cartoon. Because they still had that kind of mindset that didn't make its way over from Japan yet. And I still think it hasn't, but yeah. But Matt, I want to give Matt a chance to say whether or not he recommends this one here. Since this is your pick, you fucker. No.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you want to go long with the series, I mean, pick it up. But you know, it was not good. It just really was not good. I mean, you know, I was sold on the intro, and then it just delivered so poorly.
Look, I went and watched.
But yeah, you know, hang on.
Go ahead.
The character development is good over the course of probably 24 episodes. So if you want to get into a full series, you know, pick it up. I'd recommend it.
See, you know, I thought I could have sworn you just did not. But but basically, if you want to look for other episodes, I watched a couple in addition to the pilot. So I watched the first three, and then I kind of cherry-picked around a little bit. There were some ones that were interesting. So, like, episode 19 is called Scarecrow. There's yet another villain that's introduced who's pretty creepy, and he pops up occasionally. So it was an interesting villain. There's episode 23. It's called Psycho Crypt. That's a really, really creepy one where the Queen of the Crown basically uses her influence over Eliza's crystal to, like, get inside Fox's mind and basically torture him from the inside out, forcing him to come find her. And she actually, she rule 34s him. Now she kidnaps him. And then turns him into a slaver lord. So the other Rangers have to take him down. So that's kind of an interesting one. I really wanted to check that one out. There's other cool stuff like Murder on the Andorian Express, which is like Murder on the Orient Express. There's one called Super Troopers, which focuses entirely on Goose. There's a band theme episode where they make a band called Battle of the Bandits. So that's one of the goofy ones Sean was talking about. And then there's the Heartbeat. That's finale. So if you guys want to check out some of those, again, Hulu has them all. They've got all 65 episodes for whatever ungodly reason. But there they are, man. You can check them out. We've done the hard work for you just getting through this stuff. So we got our recommendations in. It's time for plugs. Sean, do you have anything coming up in the next couple of weeks?
What you got, kid? At the end of the month, I live in the D.C. area.
Okay.
We are doing a big festival at the end of this month. It will be from the 24th of September to the 27th.
Okay.
It's called the District Improv Festival. Very nice. And we bring in performers from across the country. as well as we also have a headlining act that will be performing on the 27th, which is a noteworthy improv group called TJ and Dave.
Awesome.
From Chicago. And so it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be awesome. We've already had a bunch of pre-sales that have gone very well and sold out. We have workshops that are available if you are in the performing arts and you would like to learn a little bit more about improv. And you can also buy tickets to all of the shows that we have. You can check more information out on districtimprov.org.
That's awesome, man. And we'll have all that information.
I won't be performing during the festival.
Oh, well, that'll be much better. Definitely go check this one.
Well,
thank God.
Thank God. I'm not performing, but I am a producer.
Oh, nice.
So come and check it out. It'll be awesome.
Very cool. And we're going to have all that information up on our site. You can check that out. Matt, since you are freshly back from the islands, do you have anything to let the people know about that's going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks?
I have literally nothing to let you know about other than you can find me at Bag of Sandwiches on Twitter.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding me right now? Don't play with my heart that way.
Shut up.
No, you're both following me, so don't fuck with
it. Wait, I am? You sure?
Well, at least Sean is.
Oh, well then, all right. So Bag of Sandwiches, that's where you're at.
That's right. Bag of sandwiches.
Excellent. That's so tasty and delicious. I have no plugs myself, but I will extend a plug to you, our fellow listeners. We're on what, like episode 17? I don't even know at this point.
Yeah.
I think 17 sounds good. We're humming along here pretty good. We're up on Apple iTunes, so you guys can check us out. We've got a fair number of subscribers on YouTube. So I'd like to thank everybody out there who's subscribed on YouTube, who follows us on Twitter, who comments and talks about the show and shares it with other people. We really need your help, and we love your support. So feel free to let us know that you're out there and you're listening and you hate the show, you love the show, you whatever you want to hear. If you have any suggestions for future shows or things like that, let us know. We want to know that you're out there, and we want to, you know, give you a shout-out on the show as well. So
if you have a cartoon that you love from the 80s
and
90s,
destroy
and you
it
want
for you.
Us, we will hate on it until the end of the day.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, we'd love to know what you guys are interested in, and you guys are also really the best. So, any of the comments that you guys post, like, we get super excited.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you hate everything that we're doing or so disappointed in us.
Oh my god,
we just love it that you're listening.
I get more excited when people hate on us.
Well, hopefully you are all just like, yeah, you guys are all just like the front runners to us when we blow up eventually, and everybody says they knew us when. So yeah, just let us know you're out there. There's a number of different ways you can do that. You can follow along on Twitter. You can check out at Bag of Sandwiches, apparently. You can also go to at Morning Tunes. That's where our host site is. You can follow me at Dr. Claw MD. Sean, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis.
And if you're looking for more on the show, you can, of course, go to our website, which is Saturday Morning Cartoons. Again, that's morning with a U. SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. You can also go to our Tumblr page, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. Populated by the one and only Sean Paul Ellis. Done a great job. You're going to have a tough time with this one, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I neglected to post anything before the episode, so I will be doing some work over the next couple of days before this episode goes out.
Yeah, so we'll see what's up there. And always feel free to email us your scorn, your hatred, your fanfic, your recipes for a great shepherd's pie, whatever you want. Send it over to SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. That's pretty much it for this week. The guys don't know what we're going to be watching next week because it's my pick.
Dave, you have a pick, and
I am
so excited to hear what it is, buddy.
Here's the thing, man. We've had a glut of like action adventure, rock'em sock'em shows over the last few weeks. I'm not getting burnt out by it, but I just want to change it up a little bit. So
please be dinosaur themed.
No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be Popples. We're gonna watch Popples.
Oh my god!
We're gonna watch Popples.
Oh no!
Sorry, guys. It's very different from anything we've been watching.
Here's the thing: I watched Popples when I was a kid. I owned two of them.
Oh, I had a bunch of Popples. So it's gonna be a fun little bit of nostalgia for us.
Popples is gonna be great. This is a good.
If you don't know about Popples, you're gonna be poppled out your mind next week. It's good stuff, man.
Please say the popping out of your mind just comes back as how you introduce the show next week.
You're gonna be popping out your mind.
Popping out your mind.
Oh boy. So yeah.
Oh boy.
Make sure to tune in for that one. Whether you know anything about Popples or not, you're about to learn on Saturday Morning Cartoons. Thanks for listening.